Welcome back to A Bevy of Bloods. I am Chris and I've got my Bloods brother, Noddy from the potty. Noddy, mate, happy birthday for yesterday, firstly, and welcome back to the potty.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, it was a big Sunday with very little, but no, it was fun family day.
Still kicking on?
Mate, kicking on insofar as draftmas, the national draft, night one, we just finished. It's a wrap.
Did you get everything you wanted for your birthday / draftmas? Is that questions that we should be asking in a couple of minutes when we go through it in a bit more detail?
In my mind, selfishly, I wanted as many compo picks and special assistance picks as North Melbourne. I think they ended up with five excellent players, but I guess we've won a lot more games than they have in the past 4 years or whatever it is. So we can't be too greedy. But yeah, no, I think we did okay with what we went in with tonight. And I think it was pretty expected. There are a few things that changed a lot of people's or the industry's expectation, certainly halfway through that first round. But ultimately, the key talking points are as we were leading up to our pick, our original pick was 12. That obviously slid with the various academy bids and father-son bids. But we ended up ourselves placing a bid on Gold Coast academy player Jake Rogers at 14, which of course they matched with various points. And then back to back we bid on Jordan Croft, which was a father son of the Western Bulldogs, and they geared up for that as well, so they matched that. And that was all documented by the AFL Cal Toomey bloke. And I could have sworn that I was like, there's just no way surely we won't double bid again.
Yeah.
Like last year. I think it was Baylor Wolf online saying, are we watching last year's draft? Because it was so similar, like
clever.
The way that we just like hit it up again. Yeah. But no, we did. We bid on Rogers and then Croft, which were matched. And then that we ended up with 16, pick 16. And then we took Will Green, obviously the ruck from Vic Metro. Tall fella. He looks like a young Oscar McInerney. He's got kind of a wiry look about him. He looks like a kooky cat, and I don't mind that. I think he'll fit in with Brody Grundy and the Swans.
I never thought of a kooky cat. That's pretty funny. Yeah,
he's got a bit of an interesting glare about him. But no, he's obviously the best ruck of the crop because at 16, halfway through the first round, you probably wouldn't have thought to take a ruck unless they're of that sort of super elite category, like Tim English and Brody Grundy, I guess. And we were just talking a moment ago offline. We have to enlist Steve-O's expertise here and get him to tell us the last time we took a ruck in the first round, because we couldn't remember off the top of our head, or even just a ruck with our last. Last time we took a ruck in the draft,
he's an interesting character. So if we get into him a little bit, he's only 18 and some change, a young kid, 204 centimeters. And Noddy, what is that? What's 204 centimeters in the old numeric? It's like 6'7".
No idea, mate. I use centimeters. I think he's six. He'd be 6'7" or 8", maybe.
Crunching numbers.
6'6" I mean, 204 centimeters makes perfect sense to me. You use the old numbers, do you?
6.69 feet, if that means anything to many people.
Yeah, okay.
So just over 6.5 feet, basically. So big kid.
So it's a big unit, yeah. Mm. But apparently like a pure ruck, and he's got quite a good tank, and I'm not surprised because it was flagged. It was flagged by most of the industry. So it's come to fruition, but there was a chance we could have taken the Tasmanian boy Leek, and was chatting with Zane Red and White online as it was happening, and we were wondering whether we were going to go Leek or Green, but in the end we went Green, obviously, and that seems to be a strategic decision, in that we've got we brought in Grundy, we've got Laddams, we've got the developing McAndrew, and now we've got Green. So it puts a bit of pressure on McAndrew. I think Green, I don't know who was ahead there in McAndrew and Green. But it's certainly, I think, you know, we're looking at Caleb May, who was an academy prospect, 207 centimetres, 109 kilos. So I think that probably, unfortunately, means that he doesn't get picked up, given that we've gone with a ruck in our first round. But yeah, so that's who we've taken with our first pick. So it's exciting. He looks good. He's got clean set of hands and quite a good tank. So I think that's a pretty good move.
And he's got himself, like, he's already been identified as a pretty good talent. Of course, it being picked up in the first round is always going to do that for you. But it's under 18s, all Australian ruckman. Excuse me. Can't go wrong, I guess. Like, obviously, doing what needs to do there. And if you really think about it, we do. I mean, we've always been joking about how we haven't had proper ruck. And for some time, and Brody's probably the first time we've got ourselves like a genuine ruck guy, probably Mummy a little bit before him, right? So, but at the same time, we also can start having hopefully like Hayden McLean and Amati and those gents that we're kind of looking at as being ruck guys. We don't necessarily need to use them in that space anymore if we have the depth, which is perhaps what we're trying to identify here. But sorry, go ahead, mate.
Oh, no, I just think, like, you know, short of a spectacular preseason, I think he's probably going to be
a few years away, yeah.
You know, yeah, I think he'll go to the VFL first and foremost. I mean, like, we're notorious for bleeding players over a prolonged period. I mean, just look at Will Gould, right? Huge expectation, All-Australian 2 years in a row, captain, right? But just couldn't crack in. So, yeah, you'd think there's probably going to be a bit of a learning curve there as well for Green. Especially now we've got the Grundy and we don't even know if Laddams is going to crack best 23, right? So given those hybrids you just mentioned. So I think it's a strategically long-term good call, and one to address a need, as you say, that we haven't really been able to hit until very recently. I mean, this current free agency and trade period where we picked up a legitimate gun ruck in Brody Grundy. So if you're going to go ruck, like if you're going to go ruck there, you have to go Green, because he was the clear best ruck. North Melbourne ended up picking Taylor Goad not too long after, at pick 20, and he is that sort of unknown quantity. He's taller and heavier than Green, and probably faster as well. He hit under 3 seconds over 20 meters twice, and had, you know, was going down the college basketball route, but then finally committed to footy. So he was one that, you know, looking at as a bit of an X factor. But obviously, you know, if you're going to commit to a ruck, you've got to go with someone who's played the game for a while, and Green had that, and that was shown up in the All Australian selection. So. Yeah, mate. Green. Yeah. Not Toby, not Tom, but we've got Will. No,
another Green. We were hoping to get ourselves a Tom, but we got ourselves a Will. But yeah, good, fair shout. And for anyone at home that's asking the question, why did Kinnear decide to bid on two other players prior to Will? And I guess Noddy, if I'm wrong here, but I understand that Kinnear has been very clear about this, especially after last year, copping a bit of criticism that he just picks the best players that he sees in the draft. He doesn't care whether they belong to a father, son, or academy. He's going to put the bid in and then see what happens, and it plays out the way he plays out. That's the way I read it.
Yeah, I think, they're definitely, they're bid on players with the expectation that if they're not matched, they're coming to the Swans. So they wouldn't do it unless they were comfortable with bringing those players in. Jake Rogers is the only one that is curious for me, because I feel like if we were going to bring in Caden Cleary, as we did anyway, and we'll get onto that in a moment, we've got a lot of in and under mids. You know, we've got a lot of smaller, strong mids. So that for me was just a curious one. But if that's where he was ranked in terms of best players, then, and it landed on us, then it was on us just to make the bid. So knowing that if they didn't match it, you know, we would have ended up with him. But I think that the other part of it is that it was pretty well documented that the Gold Coast Suns were going to match all bids, and they prepared for that, and they even did live pick swaps on the night to arm themselves with more picks to be able to cover the four bids that came eventually with Walters, Reed, Rogers, and then finally with Graham. So
pretty well prepared, Goldie. And really quickly, mate, 204 centimeters. I just had a look. The same Google results that given me three different freaking answers. I didn't think it was that hard to calculate, but it's either 6.813 inches or 6.69 or 80 inches. I don't know what's going on. So anyway, it's anywhere between 6.6 to 6.8 feet, whatever.
I think it's safe to say he's a tall big guy. Man.
All right, he's a big unit. Let's just leave it there. Thanks for nothing, Google. Oh my God,
Jesus Christ! No, look, he's there, and I think, you know, if we move on to our next pick, you know, we obviously all knew that Caden Cleary was there. We didn't know when the bid was coming. It was expected towards the end of the first round, or the beginning of the second, or the middle of the second round. But look, it probably came there in terms of equivalent. I mean, there's 18 picks right in round one, and there were 29 players picked tonight. So that just tells you how many extra selections there were. If you want to say the word compromise, that tells you how compromised it was. But anyway, yeah. So Collingwood bid on Caden Cleary at 24, and we obviously matched him with the remaining picks that we have had. I think it ended up being 43 and 47, and we got 63 back. So there's a bit of maths happening there. But
is that about where we thought we'd take him, Noddy, for those playing at home like yourself who know what they're talking about?
Yeah. I think, look, it depends when you'd ask me that question. Like if it was a month ago, I think his manager was on record saying somewhere in the second round, maybe late second round. And then Kinnear Beetson as well said a similar thing. And then obviously since then, you know, Collingwood has wised up and realised that he's a genuinely good inside mid that can tackle as well as Rowie. I think you'll be stoked about this. He averaged about 7 tackles a game over his national champs. Yeah. So imagine Rowie and him just running amok in the middle. But it probably came a little bit earlier than initially thought, but then obviously getting closer to the draft, I think, you know, as part of the record-breaking Allies team, he was in the engine room feeding to Sanders and McKercher. So I think everyone sort of wised up to that and thought, oh, you know, we've respectfully got to put a bid on here. So yeah, he ended up there at 24. So we took him there. So we got two very good players at 16 and 24. Yeah, so I think that's probably us done, mate. Like, we only went in really with pick 12, 40, 45, and 55. And depending on how things went there and that you know, loss of picks on the bid, we may still have 55 in its entirety for tomorrow. But I don't think we'll probably take another player. We were speaking before we started recording about where our primary list currently sits. And with these two inclusions tonight, that brings us to 36. As I was explaining, you can go up to 37 or 38, but each time you go up, you've got to reduce your rookie A's. So you can have a maximum of 6. So if you go up to 37 in the primary, you come down to 5 in the rookie A. If you go up to 38, you come down to 4. And you can only have a maximum of 2 in your rookie B list, unless you get special permission from the AFL. And I've been chatting with the great man Zane Red and White extensively over the past few weeks, and we're just very excited to see what we do, whether we seek special permission and put 3 academy players there in B, or we just tinker with the composition and run with what we've got. Obviously, the club announced extending Magor, and I think there's a commitment to Sam Reed as well there to have him there in rookie A. So it sounds like we've got 5 already in rookie A. It just depends on what we're going to do with Will Edwards, who was the academy, one of the rookie B players last year with Sheather, who was delisted. So, yeah, I think the list is pretty much there, short of one of these Kinnear Beetson gems that can pop up around pick 55 tomorrow, unless we use future picks to trade back in if there's a player that we really like.
Well.
I don't think we need to go into deficit because that pick for Caden Cleary came at 24. If it had come any earlier, like say after Green but before 24, there's a chance we may have needed to go into deficit. But I think we're safe, and I think actually Zane confirmed that live during the night earlier. So I think we're okay there. But it wouldn't have been much either in the end. So we may have dropped a couple of spots on our natural selection next year. But yeah, no, look, I think it's overall, it's a pretty, I think it's a pretty good take, to be honest. How did you find it, mate?
Yeah, I'm particularly happy about Cleary. I think it's a good idea. I mean, we needed our, I mean, mids are just good quality mids are going to stay in Sydney. You know, they're worth their weight in gold. And, you know, another under 18s, all Australian player, you know, for the Allies team, as you mentioned there, the historic team as well. It's just a lot to go with there. So there's no reason why we shouldn't have picked him. Like this is a perfect thing for us. And it does put a bit of pressure on those mids. You know, when you start looking at some of the way the mids are going to go, Sheldrick, we're all excited about seeing him, but he's got himself another player that is going to start, you know, vying for some positions there. And Rowie, as we said earlier as well, a similar player in terms of pressure wise. So it does make sure that we've got a lot of pressure on our kids to put up, basically. Parker's not getting any younger, and we need to find some replacements.
Yeah, exactly. And it's future proofing for sure. And and what better players to learn from than Parker and obviously Taylor Adams coming in. And you know, I just think, you know, our midfield unit is quite strong. And you know, I think we'd always committed to taking Caden wherever it came. But the other half of it are the other academy, Sydney Swans Academy boys that were in that championship winning Allies team. And they're the ones who are probably going to miss out given the composition that we just spoke about. So, you know, the likes of Lockie Caber, Caleb May, Indy Kirk, and Max Ryder was the other one. Ty Gander was there as well, but I think he was probably less likely. But I think that we'd taken Green now. I think, as I mentioned earlier, Caleb May, the ruck, the Sydney-born ruck. Hope he gets his chance elsewhere. I mean, I always feel nervous when we give up rucks because they go on and win flags with other clubs, right?
We've seen them enough times go off and win a flag. Nate, bloody Nankervis.
Nank, and now Darcy Cameron.
Darcy Cameron, of course, recently. Yeah.
Yeah, at the Pies. So yeah, I was a bit nervous with that. But, like, and then there's been a fair bit of talk about, you know, taking Indy Kirk as the father-son, which, you know, is certainly not a bad thing because he's a great young player. But Lockie Caber, I think he was in the All-Australian side as well as a small defender. And we know that, you know, Jakey Lloyd and Cunningham and Fox even are sort of coming towards the end of their careers and as that sort of lockdown small defender. So I just wonder if it's Kirk or Caber to come in, and ideally we're able to take both if we can. And this is my point to Zane: if we can elevate Edwards from B to A, then we've got two clean hits in B. So This is sort of speaking in another language, but hopefully it makes sense in the wash.
Look, there's probably a lot of people that are listening in that makes absolute perfect sense to, and they're paying attention, and there's fellas like me who don't typically pay attention to it, but it's something that's it's the makeup of the team. It's what you put on the field, so it's something quite important. But just gotta pay more attention to it, and I guess that's where we have the baby beats and Noddy, mate. That wraps up the night.
The point
do you think
I'll just add one more. I mean, potentially, like I said, like it just depends if there's a player there that we think is worthwhile using that. Last pick, if we've still got it, and again I'll have to look over my notes to make sure we do. I think we've still got 55. If we don't, we could potentially try and use a future to come in if there's a player there that we like the look of. But so again, it's going to be around an unknown quantity, or whether we look to commit to one of those academy boys in the primary list. There's a couple of other players that have been linked to us, but you know, you never know what's going to happen. Because they're saying that pretty much from player 15 onwards in this year's draft is incredibly even. So I think there are some bargains there, but given the composition and the list situation, I think we're pretty much done. But the other thing to say is we had a huge free agency and trade period this year, which is very unlike us. So we covered off a lot of needs already with Grundy, Adams, Jordan and Hamling. And then we've just topped it up with some really good young players, one from Academy and one from, you know, Vic Metro, but the best ruck in the crop. So I think in totality, it's been a pretty good trade and draft period. Obviously, there's rookie draft to go. There's tomorrow to go, day two, and then there's rookie draft on Wednesday. But I think, yeah, we're probably done. But I'm going to watch tomorrow night anyway, just in case we pull some Kinnear beats and curveballs. So it's exciting anyway. And the other thing is, if we don't take these academy boys, other clubs might. So I'll be watching that closely and letting everyone know what's happened there.
Perfect. And if you want to get your news, make sure to follow us on all the regular places that you expect to follow us. Noddy, I hope your Christmas was good to you. We've got another one coming up, but probably less exciting than Draftmas, that's for sure.
mate, it's all fun. It's all part of it. It's all very academic and nerdy. But yeah, I think ultimately, you know, we're building a very good young list or experienced young list. And yeah, we're hopeful for season 24. I think we're hoping to go deep again. So yeah, these acquisitions should help that in terms of depth and internal competition. So it's exciting.
Yeah. It's massive, particularly this season. This off season has been actually one to pay attention to. It's been really fun, actually. So yeah. Good change from other years. All right, mate. Well, have a good night. And if we anything to bring up for news, we'll probably chat about it in tomorrow's episode. Otherwise, yeah, keep an eye on us on all the socials. And if you've got questions about how the draft works or particular questions about some of the changes or the way the numbers work and details about what Noddy was referring to there in the rookie draft and the categorizing of the rookies, then make sure to ping us. We'll have a chat. All right, mate. Well, it was good to have you again. And as always, up the Bloods and Kanyu Swannies.